This is Audible.
Defiance Audio presents Simon R. Green's Deathstalker. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, and Terrence Acil Ford. Episode 1, The Man Who Had Everything. Clash by Night. It gets dark out on the rim. Strange planets and stranger people can be found on the edge of the Empire, where habitable worlds are few and civilization grows thin. Beyond the rim lies uncharted darkness, where no stars shine and no ships go. It's easy to get lost out there, far away from everything. Star cruisers patrol up to the rim, but there are never enough ships to cover the vast areas of open space. The Empire is growing too large, too cumbersome, though no one will admit it, or at least no one who matters. Every year, more worlds are brought into the Empire, and the frontiers press hungrily outward. But not on the rim. The Empire stops cold there, dwarfed by the unplumbable depths of the dark void. It gets dark out there. Ships disappear sometimes, and are never seen again. No one knows why. The colonized worlds make themselves as self-sufficient as they can and turn their eyes away from the endless dark. Crime flourishes on the rim, unthinkable distances from the hub of the Empire's strict laws. Some transgressions as old as humanity, others newly birthed by the Empire's growing sciences. For the moment, the Empire star cruisers still keep a lid on things, dropping unannounced out of hyperspace to enforce the law with brutal efficiency. But they can't be everywhere. Strange forces are at work on the rim, patient and terrible, and all it will take to set them off is a simple clash between two starships off the backwater planet of Virimond. In high orbit around Virimond, the pirate ship Shard sailed silently through the long night, hiding itself from unfriendly eyes. Not a big ship, the Shard, built more for speed than endurance, and passed from hand to hand through a dozen owners and commands. Now she carried clone leggers and body banks, and every man's hand was turned against her. Deep in the bowels of the ship, Hazel Dark, pirate, clone legger, and bon vivant, strode scowling through the dimly lit steel corridors and wished she was somewhere else. Anywhere else. The Shard wasn't a luxurious craft at the best of times, but with most of the ship's power diverted to maintaining the body banks, the old scud seemed even gloomier than usual, which took some doing. Hazel Dark, last owner of a once noble name, came to the locked door that led to the cargo bay, and stood waiting impatiently for the door's sensors to recognize her. Her mood was bad, bordering on foul, and had been ever since they dropped out of hyperspace 6 hours ago to take up orbit around Virimond. 6 hours of waiting for some word from their contacts down below. Something was wrong. They couldn't afford to stay much longer, but they couldn't leave either. So they waited. Hazel wasn't expecting any trouble from the planet's security people. The Shard might be old, but she had state-of-the-art cloaking devices, more than enough to fool anything the peasants had on Virimond. Not that there was much the planet could do, even if it knew the pirates were there. Virimond was a low-tech agricultural world, with more livestock than people. Its only contact with the Empire was a monthly cargo transporter and an occasional patrolling star cruiser, neither of which was expected for some weeks. Hazel glared at the closed door before her and kicked the frame hard. The door hissed open, and she stepped through into the freezing cold of the cargo bay. The door locked itself behind her. A pearly haze misted the air and burned in her lungs. She shuddered quickly and turned up the heating elements in her uniform. The body banks needed the cold at a specific temperature to preserve and maintain their cargo of human tissues for cloning. Hazel looked quickly about her, and then accessed her comm implant.
Hannah, this is Hazel. Acknowledge.
I hear you, Hazel,
said the ship's AI.
What can I do for you?
Edit the signals from the cargo bay security sensor so it appears I'm not here.
The artificial intelligence didn't have human emotions, but it liked to pretend.
Now, Hazel, you know you're not supposed to be in there. You'll get us both into trouble.
Do it anyway, or I'll tell the captain about your personal video collection of his private moments.
I wouldn't have shown you those if I'd known you were going to use them to blackmail me. They're a perfectly innocent collection, after all.
Computer!
All right. I'm editing the sensors. Happy now?
Close as I'll get. And Hannah, if I ever catch you snooping on my private moments, I'll perform a lobotomy on your main systems with a shrapnel grenade. Got it?
Hannah sniffed once and broke off contact. Hazel smiled briefly. All the AIs the captain could have chosen, and he had to buy a peeping Tom. Somehow that was typical of the Shard and its luck. She looked about her at the long rows of body banks, huge and blocky, their dull metal sides smeared with frost and caked with ice. Ugly things for an ugly business. The AI was quite right. She had no business in the cargo bay, and no authority either. Not that she gave a damn. Hazel Dark had a long history of not giving a damn, not to mention doing whatever she happened to feel was necessary, and to hell with the consequences. Which was at least partly why she'd ended up an outlaw and a pirate. She moved slowly toward the nearest body bank, drawn by a curious mixture of revulsion and fascination. She'd had no illusions about what she was getting into when she'd signed on board the Shard as a clone legger, but somehow it was different up close. The body banks were a source of life and longevity, but the spotless cargo bay still seemed to reek of death. Most of the lights were out, conserving energy. Never knew when you might need the extra power to make a run for it. Clone leggers were not popular, either with the authorities or those who had a need for their services. Hazel walked slowly down the central aisle between the body banks. Visions of hearts and lungs and kidneys burned brightly in her mind's eye, pulsing with fresh crimson blood. She was sure they didn't actually look like that, preserved in the icy cold of the machines, but that was how she thought of them. Her fellow clone leggers just referred to them as the merchandise, as casual as any butcher in a slaughterhouse. She stopped and looked around her, surrounded by hundreds upon hundreds of human organs and tissues, enough to fill a dozen battlegrounds, and every one of them worthless. Contaminated beyond saving by a smuggled virus. That was what you got for making enemies in the clone-legging business. Not too long before, the captain had come out ahead in a business deal with the Boneyard boys through his usual mixture of high risk-taking and low cunning. Contracts the Shard had lusted after for years had fallen into their hands as though by magic. Hazel smiled grimly. They should have known better. Clone-legging was a cutthroat business. Sometimes, literally. Clone-legging was illegal, a crime punishable by death, but that did nothing to slow down the flood of people ready and willing to make a living out of death. Officially, the use of cloned human tissues for transplanting was only allowed to the highest of the high, those with breeding and position, and a not-too-small fortune. Couldn't have the lower orders leading long and healthy lives. There were far too many of them as it was, even with the newly colonized worlds opening up vast new territories for settling. Besides, it might give the lower orders ideas above their station. But unofficially, if you had enough money and knew the right, or more strictly speaking, wrong people, you could get whatever part of you was failing replaced, either by cloning your own tissues or by illegally obtained organs from body banks. There was never any risk of rejection with a person's own cloned tissues, but surprisingly often, the original organs turned out to have built-in defects, or there were other problems that made direct cloning impossible. That was when the body snatchers came into their own. And then, no one was safe, living or dead. Most planets cremated their dead by order of the Empress to ensure that donor organs would only be available to the right sort of people. But backwater planets often cultivated illegal secret graveyards and mausoleums. Never knew when the crops might fail or business turn bad, and you might need a little cash in the bank, so to speak. So the clone leggers made the rounds, and everyone made a little money. The clone leggers made a lot. Demand was high. All they had to do was maintain a full stock list and wait for someone to come knocking tentatively at their door. Only, it isn't always that simple. Cloning is a delicate business, with all sorts of things that can go wrong. Cloning wears out an organ fast, and then it has to be replaced in stock. The body banks have a voracious appetite, and the hidden cemeteries are few and far between, often with exclusive contracts to one particular set of clone leggers. So sometimes the body snatchers go out in disguise to walk among the living, looking for those who won't be missed too much. A shame, of course, but you can't make an omelet, and all that. When Hazel joined the Shard's crew 4 planets back, the captain had assured her they were grave robbers only. Except when things got really bad. Get in quick, dig up enough merchandise to fill the body banks, and then get the hell out of there before someone sold them out for an Empire reward. There's always someone. Only this time, it had all gone wrong. The Boneyard boys had got in first and contaminated the merchandise with a really vicious virus that hadn't shown up on any of the usual tests. Now every organ they had was worthless, and they had contracts to fill with people who weren't known for their patience or understanding. So Captain Marquis had gone cap in hand to the Bloodrunners out in the Obia systems and begged a favor. Hazel still shuddered when she thought of what she and the rest of the crew had had to promise in return for the information the Bloodrunners provided. Nothing could be allowed to go wrong with this deal. There were worse things than death. So the Bloodrunners had put them in touch with people on Virimond, out on the Rim, and the Shard had come to play the old game one more time. One last throw of the dice. Hazel wondered, not for the first time, how she'd come to this. It wasn't exactly what she'd had in mind for herself when she left her home planet 10 minutes ahead of a restraining order and a lengthy stay in jail in search of excitement and adventure. Clone leggers were the lowest of the low, the scum of the Empire. Even a beggar with leprosy would pause to spit on a clone legger. People who walked in certain high circles liked to boast of their personal clone leggers, as one might an attack beast trained for the arenas. But no one had a good word for them in open society. They were pariahs, outcasts, untouchables for daring to traffic in the trade that no one wanted to admit existed. Hazel sighed tiredly. She'd leave the Shard in a moment if she had anywhere to go. Hazel Dark, 23 years old, tall, lively, muscular, with a sharp, pointed face and a mane of long, ratty red hair, green eyes that missed nothing, and a smile so quick people often missed it if they weren't looking for it. She'd worked in one dirty job after another since leaving home, and it showed in the wariness of her stance and the naked suspicion in her scowl. She'd been a mercenary on Loki, a bodyguard on Golgotha, and most recently part of the security forces on Brahmin II, which was where Captain Marquis found her, running for her life. A superior officer had decided his rank entitled him to certain rights to her body, and not for cloning either. Hazel Dark had disagreed. She'd decided a long time ago that she wasn't giving away anything she could sell. It came to blows and ended in tears, and Hazel went on the run again with the bastard's blood still dripping from her knife. At the time, a little discreet clone legging had seemed like a definite career advancement. Low profile, low risk, the only hard work, a little digging. Perfect. Especially with so many people hot on her trail. Just lately, it seemed there was always someone looking for her with bad intentions. It was all her own fault, she knew that. She'd always had a tendency to wander into illegal deals in search of fast money, and only afterward discover what she'd let herself in for. But even though she'd done a lot of things in her time that she wasn't too proud of, kidnapping people and butchering them in cold blood for their organs had to be a new low, even for her. She didn't know if she could do it. She had a feeling it might be a matter of principle, something she wasn't exactly familiar with. But everyone draws the line somewhere. She ran through the options open to her. It didn't take long. She couldn't just announce her newfound integrity to her fellow crew members, not unless she wanted to see the inside of a body bank the hard way. She could always jump ship, ride one of the escape pods down to the planet below, and lose herself in the crowds. But Virimond was a primitive place by all accounts, based around hard work and damn all luxuries. Not a good place to be stranded on the run. Especially when there are people looking for you on both sides of the law. Hazeldark looked around her at the waiting body banks and shuddered, not entirely from the cold.
What am I going to do? What the hell am I going to do?
Lights flared around her as the ship's alarms went crazy. Hazel winced away from the sudden blare of sound, her hand dropping automatically to the gun at her side. Her first thought was a hull breach, but she quickly realized that if there'd been an explosive decompression in any part of the ship, she'd have felt its effects long before the sirens went off. She accessed the emergency channel through her comm implant, and a babble of voices filled her head. It only took her a moment to pick out the phrase, battle stations, and then she was off and running. Someone had pierced the Shard's cloaking device, and that was supposed to be impossible for anything less than an Imperial Star Cruiser. And if the Empire had found them, there was a very real danger that Hazeldark's career as a clone legger was over before it had even begun.
Just my luck,
thought Hazel bitterly as she ran out of the cargo bay and headed for the bridge.
Just my luck to get picked up for one of the few crimes I haven't actually committed. Hannah, talk to me. How deep are we in it?
I'm afraid you couldn't get much deeper without crouching,
the AI said calmly through her implant.
An Imperial Star Cruiser has dropped out of hyperspace and taken up orbit around Virimond. Their sensors brushed aside our cloaking devices in well under a second, and it didn't take them much longer to issue a challenge. I'm currently lying through my electronic teeth, but there's a limit to how long I can hope to bluff them. And I have a strong suspicion it isn't going to be anywhere near long enough for us to raise enough power to escape into hyperspace.
Couldn't we make a run for it in normal space?
This is an Imperial Star Cruiser we're discussing, Hazel. They don't come much more powerful than this. They'd blast us into tiny glowing fragments before we even left orbit.
We've got shields!
They've got 250 disruptor cannon and power to burn.
Can we fight them?
If you really want to annoy them.
Damn it, there must be something we can do. You're the one with the immense intellect. Think of something.
You could always surrender.
Hazel would have laughed sarcastically, but she was too short of breath. She pounded down the steel corridor, head aching from the clamor of the alarm siren, and finally burst onto the bridge and threw herself into her fire control seat. Whatever was going on, she was sure she'd feel a damn sight more secure plugged into the Shard's 2 disruptor cannon. Theoretically, the AI was far more capable of aiming and firing the ship's disruptors, but what one AI could plan, another could anticipate and match. Human unpredictability provided an edge no AI could deal with, which is why there were always human gunners on every ship. Hazel meshed her mind with the computers through her implant and spread out through the fire systems, running quickly through the warm-up routines. Computer displays sprang up all around her, and a steady stream of information flowed through her thoughts. Hazel got her first real look at the Star Cruiser, and her heart sank. The Empire ship was 1,000 times bigger, dwarfing the Shard like a minnow next to a whale. The AI ran quickly through a list of the Imperial craft's capabilities, and Hazel's heart sank even further. Disruptor cannon, force shields, assault torpedoes. The Shard wouldn't stand a chance. But then, she'd always known that. The only thing big enough to take on a Star Cruiser was another Star Cruiser. Hazel swallowed hard and let her thoughts move cautiously through the 2 fire turrets. The cannon stirred restlessly at her touch, picking out targets of opportunity on the Imperial ship. Hazel's breathing had almost slowed to normal, but her anger took it away again as she studied the Star Cruiser. What the hell was it doing here? There wasn't one due for weeks, officially. It couldn't have come looking for the Shard. A handful of clone leggers on a pirate ship weren't that important. Which was all very fine and logical, but the Imperial ship was still there, large as life and twice as deadly. Its ranked cannon no doubt locked on the pirate ship, and ready to fire at a moment's notice. Hazel scowled fiercely. They couldn't run, they couldn't fight, and they didn't dare surrender. Maybe they could make a deal, if they could think of something to bargain with. Her mind worked frantically, but came up with nothing. Unless Captain Marquis had a whole pack of aces up his sleeve, the Empire ship had them cold. She looked across the bridge at the captain. Terence Marquis was in his late 40s, large and solid and reliable. He'd been a pirate all his adult life and loved every illegal moment of it. He dressed like a gaudy, if somewhat dated, dandy, all flashing silks and clashing colors, and affected an aristocratic accent he had no right to. At the moment, he was scowling at his displays and growling a series of calm, quiet orders. Slightly reassured that at least one person on the bridge wasn't panicking, Hazel let her eyes drift round the cramped confines of the command area. Anything was better than looking at the Empire ship. The bridge of the Shard was a mess. Half the lights weren't working at any given time, because bulbs were expensive, and they never carried enough spares, and the limited low-ceilinged space was crammed with workstations, computer displays, and terminals. Never mind the sensor panels and fire control station. Officially, there was room for 7 crew on the bridge, including the captain, but as usual, there were only 4, including the captain and Hazel. The Shard operated on a bare minimum crew, with everyone holding down as many jobs as they could handle. Half the systems weren't working, but you learned to put up with that as long as the essentials were maintained. Repairs were hideously expensive, especially at Stardock's. Clone legging could provide a very comfortable living if you were in the right place at the right time and kept up a good stock, but it was a crowded field these days, and small independent ships like the Shard were being forced out. Marquis had been relying on the Virimond run to restock the body banks and repair his fortunes and his ship. And then he made an enemy of the Boneyard boys, and everything went to hell in a hurry. A thought struck Hazel, and she looked back at Marquis.
Captain, how about if we just dump everything? Throw the merchandise and body banks out the airlock and let it all burn up, falling through Virimond's atmosphere. No evidence, no proof.
Nice idea. And if that ship hadn't been a Star Cruiser, we might have got away with it, said Marquis. But with the kind of sensors they've got, they could identify every organ and tissue sample independently and read the Maker's name on the body banks. Their sensors' records would make damning evidence. So, we can't dump it, and we can't afford to be caught with it. Doesn't leave much room for maneuvering, does it?
He smiled briefly.
I suppose we could always eat the merchandise. How's your appetite, Hazel?
Not as good as it was a moment ago. Basically, what you're saying is we're screwed if we do and screwed if we don't. I suppose surrender is out of the question.
Marquis's smile came and went again.
There's enough evidence on this ship to hang us all. Slowly.
So what are we going to do?
The one thing they won't expect. We'll fight. Who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky.
And if we don't?
Then at least we'll die quickly. Are the guns ready?
Ready as they'll ever be. They haven't been checked, let alone fired, in ages.
Hazel glared at the massive ship on the screens before her. Tears of anger and frustration burned in her eyes, but she wouldn't give in to them. Her luck had just turned bad one time too many, that was all. She pounded a fist on the arm of her chair.
What the hell is an Empire ship doing here, anyway? We only made the decision to come here 12 hours ago. They couldn't have known about us.
She didn't see Marquis shrug, but she could hear it in his voice.
A lot can happen in 12 hours, especially when you've got enemies. Any number of people could have found out where we were heading and then sold the information to the Empire.
But who the hell would send a whole bloody Star Cruiser after small fry like us?
Good question. Wish I had a good answer for you. Could be the Boneyard boys calling in an old favor to put the finishing touch to our destruction. It doesn't matter. Now, suck it in and stand ready with your disruptors. Hannah is currently telling the Empire ship that we're an ambulance craft on a mercy mission to a plague outbreak. She's feeding them all kinds of convincing details, but I don't think they're buying it. Certainly they aren't going to buy it long enough for our engines to power up for a jump into hyperspace.
Hazel's mouth was suddenly dry.
Captain, our two guns aren't worth spit against all theirs. There must be something else we can try.
Sorry, Hazel. Nothing springs to mind. You know what they say. If you can't take a joke, you shouldn't have joined.
Hazel waited, but Marquis had nothing more to say. She concentrated on her fire controls. Both the Shard and the Star Cruiser had four screens that could withstand a hell of a lot of punishment, but they also used up a hell of a lot of energy, and the Shard's shields would go down long before the Imperial ships did. It came to Hazel then that she was going to die out in the empty spaces of the Rim, far from home and family and honor, just as she'd always known she would. On the Imperial Star Cruiser Darkwind, Captain John Silence sat at ease in his command chair, looking out over his efficiently murmuring bridge. Every man at his station, every system running smoothly, just as it should be. The small craft on the main view screen seemed surprisingly insignificant to be taking up so much of his time and attention. Still, nothing that small was going to give him any trouble, and the prize money its capture would bring would be a welcome bonus. At least that way, something good might come of this mission. He tried to push the thought aside, but it persisted. He had better things to do than waste time hunting down some poor bastard who probably didn't even know he'd been outlawed yet. But man proposes, and the Empress disposes. She said go, and you went. If you liked having your head still attached to your body. He looked at the starship on the main view screen again, and frowned slightly. Probably just a pirate ship involved in something dubious. But what was it doing here at the same time as the Darkwind? Could it have come to try and save the Deathstalker? Owen Deathstalker, Lord of Virimond, holder of a proud name and title, condemned to death by the Empress's word. She hadn't said why, and Silence hadn't asked. One didn't. But Silence had quietly checked the files anyway, just in case there was something there he ought to know. If there was, he missed it. Owen Deathstalker might be descended from a famous warrior clan, but in his case, the blood seemed to be running thin. His people ran Virimond efficiently enough, but the man himself was just an amateur historian, wrote long books on obscure subjects that no one ever read. Looking back was unofficially discouraged. There were too many subjects the Empire preferred its people to forget. Presumably, the Deathstalker had stumbled across something he shouldn't have. Whatever it was, Owen Deathstalker wouldn't be writing a book about it this time. He was outlawed, a non-person with a price on his head. Literally. The Empress liked proof of her kills.